Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Yes, and of course, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow on a Saturday morning. Thanks for joining us. Fun morning, a little bit of an abbreviated show, again, with New York Racing currently, and I mentioned this yesterday, and for folks who maybe only get a chance to tune in on the weekends, we're at that point in the year again, and it was like this last year. New York's kind of bouncing between 11:50 and 12:20, depending on how many races they have. Well, there's 10 today, so they have an 11:50 post time. That means the pregame show will start a little early, so I'll end a little bit early today, a little bit after 10:30 probably or so. But again, it's an 11:50 post time, and as I say, I mentioned it yesterday, if you're playing New York, and particularly if you like the early pick five and the early pick four, you always check those post times because, as I say, they're bouncing back and forth between 11:50 and 12:20. So don't get caught behind the eight ball with an earlier post time than expected. But today, 11:50. And as I say, we'll end a little early, but we have plenty in the meantime. In a few minutes, we'll be joined by our friend Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. I wanted to bring her on this time of year when, you know, holiday time, people start to think maybe sending a check or a few checks to various charities. And I always like to, this time of year, mention some of the racing charities. And certainly Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation does a lot of good work. We talk about them all year long. But you can maybe kill two birds with one stone because you can give them a donation through their online auction, which goes for another week. And I was checking it out on eBay yesterday, and there are a ton of really great items. And maybe you can click off, make a couple of check marks on your Christmas list because there are various price ranges and various levels of fun to be had, and we'll talk about that, but it's worth checking out, so I just wanted to alert people so it wouldn't float under the radar. I mean, there's memorabilia, halters, and there's a backstretch tour with Rich Migliori, but there's also books and Saratoga items and whatnot, so I just wanted to alert you to that. We'll do that in a couple of minutes. A little bit towards the end of the program, we will be joined by our friend Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum. Mike, of course, based down at Gulfstream, and Gulfstream today, as they wind up their current meet and head into the championship meet in a week or so. They have $450,000 in the Rainbow Six today. The meet actually ends tomorrow, but they're taking advantage of the Saturday to do the mandatory payout on the Rainbow Six. So there's $450,000 in the pool. They're estimating it'll get up with the mandatory pay to about $3 million. So I thought we'd bring Mike on a little bit later and kind of chug through the Rainbow Six sequence and get some ideas for him, from him. Just before we go to our first break, there was some news to hit on over the past few days. We're touting Ken Ramsey going to reduce the headline in the Blood Horse. Reduce Ramsey's selling to reduce herd to a quote unquote manageable number, but his farm manager is quoted as saying, Mr. Ramsey doesn't really want it to be a business anymore. He wants it to be a hobby. He's keeping about half a dozen nice mares, and we will still have 7 yearlings on the farm and 8 weanlings. He still wants to have a racing string. He has about 40 horses in training, and he doesn't want that many, so it'll wind down to 10 or 12. So one of the more prominent owners in the industry over, what, the past couple of decades, I suppose. And it's quoted down here further. Yeah, he's 86 years old now, and yeah, as I say, prominent owner, and you can't blame him. He's, again, cutting it back from a business to a hobby because if you have that many horses, it is a business, and you got to juggle the books and make it all work and whatnot. But if you still like racing, which obviously he does, he'll still have that racing string there and some horses on the farm. You'll still see the Ken Ramsey name, just maybe not as often as before. But as I say, one of the more prominent owners in the game. Some news about Ken Ramsey. There was also an article in the Blood Horse over the past couple of days, David O'Rourke from the New York Racing Association talking about the new hockey arena. Why? It opens tonight. If you're a hockey fan, the Islanders will kick off action in their new arena on the Belmont Park grounds this evening. Should be a lot of fun. If you've been at Belmont over the past, couple of years, you've seen the construction going up slowly but surely. And it should be good for the racing game. I mean, there's going to be hockey there. There'll be concerts there. It's going to bring people to that facility. And you would have to think when there's an overlap between an event in the arena and racing at Belmont, you'll get some crossover there. It can only mean good things for Belmont Park, you would have to think. But again, it opens tonight. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out, the hockey season with the Islanders, and how folks are enjoying the brand new arena and maybe getting a little taste of Belmont, even though racing isn't currently there. Follow-up testing on Medina Spirit is going to begin, according to a Blood Horse article, next week. Interesting to see how that plays out. According to veterinarian quoted in the article, probably it'll take about 2 weeks to complete that. So again, this whole story has kind of been waiting for this next session of testing to go down to see how things are going to play out as we wait to see what the status of Medina Spirit and a possible disqualification from the Kentucky Derby, how that will play out. And that we're getting, I would think, I would hope, to the final stages. And I hope, I'm not hoping necessarily one way or the other, but I'm hoping for a resolution to this, because it's just these kind of things gets a little absurd when it drags out. And that's what happens when you get to court and whatnot. But it, you know, I mean, we're talking about first Saturday in May, and now we're heading to Thanksgiving, and there has been no absolute resolution yet. So hopefully that's around the corner sooner rather than later. All right, we'll take a break. Oh, when we come back, again, a little bit later on, Mike Welch will delve into the mandatory payout in the Rainbow Six down at Gulfstream Park. But right after this, Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. As I say, we'll tout you on their online auction, which has about another week to run. Some of the nice items there. You maybe check off some folks on your Christmas list, or maybe get yourself a Christmas gift or a Thanksgiving gift, as it were. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
We had started it 2 years ago, and to me it's a privilege to be able to do this, and I mean that sincerely. And we see the need for it more and more. And when you do see the people that are in line for the turkeys, it makes it all well worth it.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation via Zoom. Kim, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. It's great to see you. Happy, a little frosty of a Saturday morning here in Saratoga, but I am awfully glad to be home and with you.
Yeah, and we were talking off the air and fill people in. You were out at Del Mar, out for the Breeders' Cup, and a little hometown visit as you were based out there as a kid and spent a couple weeks out there. But give us a little lowdown on the 2 days of the Breeders' Cup. Always interested to hear what people, you know, the firsthand experience, particularly Del Mar. I keep saying I'd love to get out there. I haven't had a chance yet, but I'd love to do it. And it certainly looked good again a couple of weeks ago for the Breeders' Cup. What was your experience?
Oh my gosh, it was wonderful. I mean, it was wonderful to be home. I have the good fortune to have a pretty beautiful childhood hometown. It only compares to the one that's currently my hometown here. The weather was great. I have to say a lot of my New York friends were chilly because they weren't expecting that marine layer. So there was there's a little bit of grumbling, very minor, but a bit of grumbling about the marine layer because it is chilly until that burns off. I think that was great for Breeders' Cup merchandise sales, though, because a lot of people went home with Breeders' Cup jackets and blankets and things. But what a spectacular 2 days it was. The track was beautiful. An extraordinary gathering of people, and I just loved every minute of it. It was really a milestone for Bobby and me because we were there 4 years ago for the first Breeders' Cup at Del Mar, but that was before we had made this leap into our new world. And we were happy fans, but we knew like two people and we waved at them from afar. This time it felt like everyone we know and all of our friends had had traveled to our hometown. We even had a gathering at my favorite Mexican place, Fidel's Little Mexican. We had about 40 people there on that Friday night of Breeders' Cup. So I was in seventh heaven. The racing was terrific. I just loved every minute of it. It was really awesome. And Seth, we will get you out there. And I've already asked friends at Breeders' Cup, when is it back? Let's do it again there soon. It was so much fun.
Yeah, envious just watching. I've said it many times, that shot across the street, the beach and racetrack, I'm there. I'm all about
that.
That's
you.
And who knew, but it took a native. I was watching the morning programming leading up to the Breeders' Cup, and I saw that fog. Who knew? But I guess you have to be a native to know it's the marine layer. I did not know that.
It's definitely a thing. It's a thing we grew up with. And if you go like 1 mile east, it's 75, 80 degrees all the time. But right there on the coast, this thing hangs out and you have to always have a jacket. But it was so beautiful. I mean, the horses looked amazing and the racing was fantastic. And, you know, we had so many friends with connections. And one of our board members, a brand new board member, was just announced before the Breeders' Cup, is Kelsey Marshall with Eclipse Thoroughbreds. And we got to see Kelsey and the team before the races, and then we were there to cheer with them when Aloha West won. So we really felt like we had a friend win a Breeders' Cup race. It was just amazing. I could go on and on, but it was great. And I just want to commend all the Breeders' Cup folks who made that happen, and then all the trainers and horsemen who brought their beautiful creatures. It really was a celebration that I couldn't have enjoyed more with all of the friends who were out there. So next time we'll all be there together, Seth. We'll make that happen.
Excellent. Sounds good. You also, when we were off the air, we're talking about visiting one of the correctional facilities out there that has some of the TRF horses, and we've talked about that before. Before we get into the auction and how people can participate, maybe some of the other ways they can donate if it gets into the holiday season a little bit later, just talk a little bit about, you know, we've had you on plenty before, but for folks who maybe aren't familiar, talk about the mission of the TRF and the good work that is done with the horses that, you know, it's great to see them taken care of after their racing careers, and TRF is a big part of that.
Well, I love talking about it, and absolutely glad to share. The mission is simple. It's serious. It is to save thoroughbred racehorses who are no longer able to compete on the racetrack from possible neglect, abuse, and slaughter, which is a serious and sobering thought. We love them so much. We get so much enjoyment and friends and fun from them as they're racing. We just have to make sure they're safe and secure when their racing careers are done. And that's the work we do. We will be creeping up on a big celebration next year. We'll begin the 40-year celebration next year, Seth. So be careful. I'm looking for 40 times on the Capital OTB network next year. but we've been doing this a long time. We are honored to just have had brilliant visionary individuals found us nearly 40 years ago, and countless individuals have supported us. So that what we've done is we've taken horses and we've kept them for the rest of their lives. That's our mission, is sanctuary. And this day, where so much has come to fruition in the thoroughbred aftercare world, we are no longer anywhere near the only one, and we're so glad of that. So we can focus on one specific piece of the aftercare puzzle, and that is those horses that cannot pursue a second athletic career, or who've done their second athletic career and they've aged out of that. So we are there. We are the old folks home of the thoroughbred retirement world. And we love that. Our herd are the old ones. They are honestly the creaky, often broken ones, but they are the beloved of all beloved, all 500 of them that we take care of across the country. Thanks to our donors, entirely thanks to private donations, we care for each of those 500 horses until their last good day. They often live till they're 25 or 30 with us regularly, because we let them just be horses and they are loved and cared for. But that's what we do. We do that across the nation. We are a nationwide foundation. We are based happily here in Saratoga Springs. But we have 8 programs that Seth always lets me talk about, and it's what I was out there to visit in California, where these horses living out their days do so in a very meaningful way within the confines of correctional facilities. We have 8 of these TRF Second Chances programs. And I was visiting one of them just on Tuesday this week out in California. So in those cases, the horses do have a second career. It's just not athletic. They are teaching men, women and even some juveniles life skills and vocational training so they can go out and be better people. That's our Second Chances program. Second chance for the horse, second chance for the human. And I can talk about it all day. How's that for a start?
Yeah, no, that was great. And, you know, we've, as I say, we've had you on at Saratoga, and you guys have events up at Saratoga, and folks can get a chance to meet some of the horses. I was out, I want to say last summer, we were out at the farm out near Saratoga, and we were shooting a little bit. And, man, there was a couple of horses, older horses, very friendly, and one of them was a complete ham bone. I was trying to shoot some video. Every time I set up the camera, he went right for it. He had the stars in his eyes, but they're all very nice and kind of lovable, and they're all kinds, I'm sure. But the work that is done at the correctional facilities is very important, and we've talked to some of the participants in that as well. The event at the start of the season last year, we met up with a couple of those people. And then you had just recently an event as well, and alert people to that, because I just pulled up the YouTube page, and people can kind of go back and check that out if they didn't get a chance to see it live.
Yeah, because it is. It's hard to describe the TRF Second Chances program. I mean, folks can get the concept that there's horses and there's inmates, but sort of putting them together is what we've done as much as we can visually. And so that is what we did on October 21st. We broadcast via live stream the TRF Lowell 20th anniversary horse show. If you ever saw any of these ads, that's what that looked like. You all were wonderful to help us support it, Seth. But what we did is we put out to the world a visual, the actual voices of the women. This is our one women's prison in Ocala, Florida at Lowell Correctional Institution. And we let the women tell their own story. We let them tell our audience what these horses are doing for them. We also got to show off the horses, who are to the letter ham bones, as you said, Seth. They love their people. They've been handled as racehorses so carefully for all their early years that you put them in a prison and they just gravitate towards the people. So I would love, it was a gift to share the magic of the program at Lowell with the world. We had about 700 people watch live. We've had nearly 3,000 people watch it. So what anyone at home, if you have 50 minutes, no commercials, not that we don't love commercials, but you can watch this from our website, and it's just a clicking a link and you watch a 50 minute show. A beginning of it looks a little bit like this because I'm sitting in my basement welcoming you. But the key is it's about 20 minutes of video of the women telling their stories of how these horses changed their lives, and also giving you a chance to see how happy and loved our horses are. So if you have some time over the holidays, you know, after you're digesting your turkey next week, feel free to click that link. It's right there on the top of our webpage. And I keep saying to everyone, I promise you'll feel better about the world if you just watch this little video, because it does show that good things are happening. And I'm just honored to get to talk about them.
Yeah, recommend it. And again, your website is trfinc.org, trfinc.org. Folks can go visit the website. And that's also where they can find a link to the annual auction. A lot of items on eBay, or you can go to eBay, and if you type in the search engine, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, it'll bring up the items as well. I checked that out. But I just wanted you to tout that a little bit. As I said, when I went yesterday and looked, there are just a lot of great items for people to buy for themselves, or as I say, potentially Christmas gifts, and the TRF gets the benefit of the proceeds. And so I wanted to tout it a little bit because I didn't want it to float under the radar. And as we talk a little bit, I'll have the guys in the control room pull up some. And I got some images yesterday, a Migliori backstretch tour, a Tisda Law package, a Serena Song package. And so that'll give folks some idea. But talk a little bit about the auction.
Oh, well, I love talking about this. It is it's like the perfect event to capture the year, because it gives us a chance to bring all the pieces together that make racing and horses so wonderful. But we put them all available for purchase on an eBay auction. I want to start with a huge shout out to my amazing colleague who you have met, Seth. Chelsea O'Reilly is the project leader for the online auction, among her many other things she does, like building our new programs in prisons. But she is the point person, and she is like a hoover for cool stuff that is horse related. And that's the big umbrella that we use to collect our auction items. There is really, we hope, something for everyone who loves horses. So, you know, categories might be the racing memorabilia, which is where it started. And I dare say that's where the first TRF fundraiser that was ever hosted, which was hosted at Belmont, was an auction of racing items. So we are staying true to our roots with this event. And now we do it online, thanks to the technology. But you've got things like, I'll jump to the couple that I love. There's a photo taken by Sharon Castro of Barbaro in one of his works, signed by Michael Matz. I love that piece. Hint, hint to my husband. There are things that are glasses. And I had to shoot down here today, Seth, because my husband is a really obsessive collector of glasses. And I don't know that you can see him on screen, but he has Derby glasses. He has Derby steins. We have Derby decanters. And if you like any of that stuff, you're going to find it on the eBay auction because his type is well represented on it. There's a Serena Song halter, which is amazing. You know, so for those real purists who like to have the individual items, for jockeys, we have some fabulous things signed. I think there's one of the Johnny V signed for one of his milestone wins. So the racing enthusiasts are going to feel very at home in our auction. And so feel free to shop for yourself, shop for your friends. I think Steve Bick has his eyes on some glasses. I think my husband has his eyes on the Firenze Fire photos. There's two photos there. One of them actually has Firenze Fire savaging a photo of the race. Like, it's so cute. It's like really a sleeper in there. The next category, though, which is like my favorite category, I have to say, is the experiences, because I'm sort of done with my husband bringing home stuff. Not that I don't love it, but that's why we have a basement. The experiences are where you get to go do, see, feel, hear what's happening. And I have to say, Richie's item is so far the hot item. And I had the chance to accompany him on this tour this summer because we had the same thing. He was gracious enough to give his time in this summer to our barbecue at the barn auction, silent auction. And I got to accompany the winner. And oh my gosh, I learned so much. I had so much fun. It was a beautiful day. And he said, please put me in again. If there's another chance for me to do it and tell my stories and to show off this beloved place, let me. And so we're grateful beyond words to Richie, but this is guaranteed fun for anyone. It'll be this summer in 2022. We'll schedule it up at people's, you know, convenience. His schedule's a little crazy. But there's other experiences in there that I love. There's actually a tour of one of our TRF Second Chances programs. The one in Lexington, Kentucky is where we can host VIP visits. In fact, I have someone going on Monday who won this item in an auction at the Retired Racehorse Project. So there's farm tours. There's farm tours here in Saratoga at beautiful Song Hill, the Bond Racing Team's beautiful farm with Tina Bond. Also Sugar Plum Farm, which is the beautiful one you see on the way out to Saratoga National. Third category, though, is if you're a horse person, even if you only go to the races occasionally, but you just love these animals or you have them in your life, there's brand new holiday halters. There's this one cool thing I want to point out. It's a DNA test for your horse. It's a full workup, sort of like 23andMe or whatever that thing is called, where you can find out all the breeds that are in your horse. Now, if you have a thoroughbred, you may not want to do this because you've been telling everyone it's all thoroughbred. But I'm just kidding. They're all thoroughbred. They are. Jockey Club makes sure of that. But if you have a riding horse, a show horse, and you're kind of wondering what makes him tick, that's where I'm going to finish and say each and every item reflects a donation already to the TRF, like that the DNA company, Sugar Plum Farm, the Bonds, Richie. They have given of themselves with an item or a service or whatever it may be, and we want to say thank you to them. I don't even have the list of everyone to thank, but as you look through the action item, maybe just under your breath, say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to all those people who gave those things. But then, like Seth said, click the button, buy something, you know, shop for something, play the game. It does finish next Saturday, so you can be watching it over the Thanksgiving holiday, you know, while you're digesting your turkey, while you're maybe weary of your relatives or friends and you want to just play online. I hope that you'll have fun with the auction and know that every item purchased, all those dollars you're seeing, those are donations straight to our beloved herd. And so it's a fun way to finish what's been an amazing, amazing year. So thank you for letting us do a little walk through it, Seth. What are you putting your bid on?
Well, they just showed the Saratoga Enthusiast Package that has the signed Saratoga Racecourse bag signed by all the jockeys, and I thought that was pretty good. And that it was still at a very reasonable price point. We'll see what it winds up at, but that I want to make that point too. There are all kinds of price points. There are all kinds of items. People should swing by and check it out. But we have to wrap it up, but I just wanted to, again, have you on to kind of tout the auction because it runs for another week. I didn't want it to float under the radar because, as we've hinted, there are some really nice items on there. So, Kim, appreciate the visit. Good luck with the auction for the TRF, and we'll talk again.
Thank you, Seth. Take care.
Some TRF swag. I like it. They can go to the website and check out that as well. Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Again, website is trfinc.org. We'll take a break. When we come back, Mike Welch, we will dive into the Rainbow Six with a mandatory pay. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, our friend Mike Welch down at Gulfstream for the Daily Racing Forum and with the mandatory pay today. I thought we'd talk a little Rainbow Six with Mike and more. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Before we get into specifics, just give us a little update on what the Saturday morning weather is like down there.
Right now, it's kind of clear. I think there's more rain in the forecast. We got a lot of rain yesterday, but the track, by the time we got to the last break this morning, the track was fast for training. And, of course, it doesn't really affect the Tapeta. So, at the moment, we're fast and slash Tapeta. So that's the way it is. But keep an eye out. I mean, main track could change as we go along. You know how it gets around here this time of year with the weather.
Yeah. And speaking of the Tapeta, I actually wanted to hit on that a little bit because I'm up here doing the handicapping show in the afternoon. And been watching some Gulfstream, and so I'm just kind of looking anecdotally, but it seems like the Tapeta surface has been working out very well racing, and I'm just curious as to what firsthand down there, what it's been like and what the reaction has been from all the folks involved.
You know, it's been mixed. I think the bettors, you know, it's tough on the bettors because most of these horses are coming in here with no Tapeta form at all. And then you got to judge, you know, the ones, the turf breeding, okay, some of them like it, some of them don't. I find the Tapeta racing, you know, hard to gauge. It's just, especially when you get into those bigger fields on the narrower course, it's kind of like potluck suppers sometimes with the results in those races. But, you know, that's the way the turf course was, too, in the cheaper categories. Same thing. Big fields, cheap horses on the turf, and you know, you get $70 horses three times a week. Sometimes it'll seem.
Yeah, that's. Do you think though that bettors will become more used? I mean, I can remember I relate it to when they first started, when turf sprints became popular. Turf sprints to me were a complete puzzle. But you get a couple of years down the road, and now you've got a little database to work with, and the turf sprints became a little easier to handicap. Will the Tapeta work out that way as well, you think?
Well, it'll help once you establish some form on these horses. But now you're going to get a lot of these New York guys coming in,
yeah.
And most of them haven't run on it. Now, some horses are coming in from Presque Isle, from Arlington, and Woodbine. The Woodbine horses will have maybe a little bit more of an edge coming down here this winter than usual because they're used to running on that kind of stuff. So that'll help, but it's still going to be a while before you establish enough of a database. And even with it, you know, I still find those races, like I said, they're cheap races for the most part.
Yeah.
They're saving the turf for the better races. So the cheaper races on the Tapeta, the cheaper races on any surface, you know how volatile those results can be. That's just the nature of those kind of horses.
Wanted to touch on one more subject before we get to the Rainbow, and that was, you wrote a nice article the other day about Chantel Sutherland, and I've been talking about her really going back to last year's championship meet when that ended and she stuck around. I thought, and I think over the past, I don't know, couple weeks, month or so, I think you can really put this label on it. I think it's a career resurgence for Chantel Sutherland. As I say, she kind of stood out to me at the end of the championship meet and seemed to be riding well on the comeback down in Florida. But over the past couple of weeks or month or so, she's really stood out.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is confidence that once you start riding more often and ride better mounts and you start winning some races, your confidence level picks up. And it's like any sport. When your confidence is high, you perform better. She's working very, very hard. Like even this morning, she was out there. I worked two or three this morning, but I've seen some mornings where she's worked five or six. She's gotten herself into some outfits that are pretty successful. George Delgado, for one, has a 30 or 35% percentage. She's riding a lot for him. So that helps too. You know, now you're going into the big meet. The competition's going to get tougher. But she's established herself with a lot of these local outfits that, you know, frankly, these cards are going to be made up mostly with races for the horses that are here, the cheaper races. And, you know, I think she's going to maintain a good base of business as long as she can keep performing the way she has. Thumbs up for her. And, I credit her for how hard she's been working.
Yeah, again, it's kind of a career resurgence. She had that great start up in Canada and then was out in California, so it's good to see. We'll keep our fingers crossed as, you know, the big guns start to come to town over the next month or so. But let's dive into it. I believe I'm correct. There's 450 in the pool, and if I read it correctly, they're estimating $3 million by the end of betting.
Yeah, I was thinking $2 million. It's usually they get about four times what's in there, and I think it's a little over four, so... That's my guess. I mean, maybe because it's the next to last card here for almost 2 weeks, you might get a little more action on it. So we'll see. But I'd say two would probably be the minimum that'll be in there at the end.
And I'm glad you brought that up as well. There is a break before the championship meet opens.
Yeah. Tomorrow's the last day for a week and a half. All Thanksgiving week off and come back a week from Friday, December 3rd. It's the first time they've done that.
I was going to say, that's unusual down there.
Yeah, absolutely. They always ran up to the Sunday before the championship meet, took a few days off and came back. I think it's a good thing. They've been going, you know, on a pretty regular basis here on the circuit for the last year. So give everybody a little break to refresh. They need to refresh that. The turf course, we haven't used it for a while anyway, but it's still looking a little rough. So another week and a half for that will help. And give everybody pumped up for when we start back on December 3rd.
All right, let's go through the sequence and get some ideas. You have a nice article on DRF.com as well that people can check out. But fifth race kicks off the sequence. Conditional claimers on the Tapeta at a mile and 70. Field of 12 scheduled to go. What do you see in the fifth race?
The fifth race to me is like this whole sequence. It's really, really hard, and it really puts a real burden on the small bettor. I mean, you can't hit this thing with $100 or, you know, you might not hit this thing with $1,000. You got full fields for the races on the Tapeta. One race on the dirt has eight first-time starters. I mean, just they don't give the they don't give the small guy a break, that's for sure. I mean, to me, if you're serious, you're almost using the all button here. If you're trying to narrow it down, I mean, this was a never win two for 16. It's one of those races I'm talking about. Cheap race on the Tapita, full field, anything can happen. I picked the four. Katie's a dream girl. I mean, Ralph Nix went out and entered this horse about a day after she ran last time because she got a bad trip, dropped her down, stretches her out. Chantel's on her. I think she's got as good a chance as anybody. She's run once on the synthetic surface. That was last time, and she had a bad trip, but at least she got a run over the track. That's my top pick, but, you know, if she doesn't win, you could probably go 5-6 deep and not get alive.
Yeah, I'm just looking over the field. I was going to say, you can point to four or five in there and probably have an equal level of confidence. Kind of alluded to that sixth race, the maiden claimer, with a field full of first-time starters going six on the main track. What do you think in race number six? And it suss out anything breeding-wise interesting from the firsters?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a tape of the eight horse work, Illogical Love, the Sappy, worked with a horse of his that's already won twice. I'm guessing that this horse will wind up going off the favorite. Sappy's been obviously red hot. He's been dropping horses in for claiming prices where they could win. So I see this as probably the most logical winner. Ralph Nix's horse, Pronta, comes up a 47 1/2. I doubt she'll be 8-1, and she gets Chantel also. The Sweaty Fox for Tom Proctor. Has some bullets on her resume. I've seen some of her works on tape. Just okay, nothing special. So I'm looking for a new face in here. So I would look at those three. But again, you know, a maiden 50 with all these first timers. Who knows? Anything could happen.
Yeah, and you don't get really a chance to look at the board. Although I suppose you can look at probable pays for doubles, maybe in the fifth, to give you a little idea.
Yeah, that would be the only way. Yeah, only way to get a little bit of a hint. And my guess is, like I said, that Sappy's horse will be the favorite in those. Just a guess, but I don't know.
Seventh race, plain vanilla, 16-20 claimers. They're on the Tapita to mile and a 16th. And looking at your article on DRF.com, you mentioned Pearlescent. So I pulled up the win by Pearlescent back on October 10th over the Tapita. That was a pretty good-looking effort. It was against 10 claimers. These are 20 claimers, so moves up a little bit. But it was, as I say, an impressive effort to kind of hang your hat on, perhaps, for Pearlescent. What do you think in the seventh?
Yeah, I mean, from a buyer standpoint, that's a career-best effort, and it came on the synthetic. So I have to think this is one of those horses that really likes it. You know, some will, some won't. Most will be probably somewhere in the middle, but this one, off of that performance, trainer Elizabeth Dobles has given her 5 weeks off to recuperate from that big number. And it wasn't, you know, like a huge jump forward where you say she's got a bounce. So she's my top choice. And again, if she doesn't win, you got a lot of options in behind her. You got the Gerald Brooks horses. He's come in from Presque Isle. A bunch of these horses, or most of his horses, have already been over the surface. So gives him a little edge, although this horse has run here twice now. Hasn't won, but is dropping down in class. So that would be one of my next choices.
All right, let's move on to race number eight. Again, plain vanilla claimers at the bottom level. The basement level is $6,250. And again, looking at your article, you mentioned Mr. Tito's, and I pulled up the win most recently for Mr. Tito's. Had to work for it, but it was at this level. And when I'm handicapping in the afternoon, I'll point to these horses and say, why not right back? If they win at a level, why not right back the next time? But at the bottom level, it's maybe a little tougher to string a couple together. But Mr. Tito's certainly live. But your thoughts on the eighth?
Yeah, it usually is for these kind of horses. But the one thing I like about him, one from post 12 going a mile. I mean, horses don't win that often from post 12 going a mile. I don't know what the exact percentage is, but it's gonna, you can bet it's real small. So the fact that he was able to do that, withstood a hard stretch duel, now moves into post three, I think will be forwardly placed. That was my top pick. You know, he is coming back in 3 weeks off a pretty hard effort, so it is a question whether this horse can repeat it, but just off the fact that it beat these same horses from post 12. I threw in Plato as a long shot, breaking from the rail. I think this horse is going to get loose on the lead. Got beat six lengths by Mr. Tito's last time, tracking it fourth. I think if they send this horse and he gets loose in the lead, you look at that race two back at Delaware, that 81 buyer, that would win this race.
All right, let's turn the page to race number nine. It's an optional claimer starter allowance, about a mile and a 16th. on the Tapeda. What are your thoughts in the ninth?
Well, it doesn't get any easier a year other than the fact that there's only nine to choose from. So if you wanted to, you know, take a wheel here, it wouldn't cost you as much. But I took Senseless Drama. Horse's first race over the Tapeda wasn't bad at the same level. I think this horse could get loose from the inside on the lead. Jaramillo likes to do that, try to send his horses and then slow things down on the front end. There is some other speed outside, Village Queen being one of them. But I'm looking for this horse to go and be gone and wire this field. And again, if that doesn't happen, you better be well covered behind her.
And we'll wrap up the sequence in race number 10. It goes off approximately 5:10 this afternoon / evening. Calendar condition claimers, again on the Tapeda at 1.70 miles. What are your thoughts in the nightcap?
Yeah, you better be live with a lot of them, even if you're live, and good luck if you're alive to this point, I got to tell you. You know, but I picked Flow Motion coming back to Florida after being away. Drops, you know, for 12.5, comes out of a pretty race, kind of overmatched last time and at Laurel. And look at its record on the synthetic track. 4 in the money's out of 5 shots. So, yeah, that's a big plus. Jane Sabella usually comes back with some live horses when she comes back to town. So that was my top pick. I like the fact she reaches back out for Paco, who won on this horse this summer in Mama. So a lot to like on Flow Motion if she can, you know, if he can bang out a trip in a 12-horse field. You know, that's the question in any of these races. A lot of these horses are going to be eliminated just because of the trips.
Yeah, it's again, it's a tough way to end a tough sequence. But if somebody hits it,
it's not a better friendly sequence. It's really not a better friendly sequence. If I was betting now, you're going to get a payoff here of 20,000 or higher, just because you know you're going to get a couple of crazy results with these kind of fields.
Yeah, you would have to think so. Congratulations to anybody who scores. Just before we let you go, I want to know any buzz building down there for the potential Life Is Good Knicks Go matchup in the Pegasus.
Well, you know, it's a little early now, and a lot can happen between now and then, but it's nice to know that, you know, both of those at the moment are pointing here. Hopefully they'll make it. It'll certainly make the race. You know, it might make the field a little shorter, but and from a betting standpoint, there might not be a lot of value there with those two obviously being the big names in the race. I just think Life Is Good as a superstar. Not that Knicks Go isn't, but I think there's no telling how good Life Is Good could be. So we'll see, you know, anxiously awaiting both coming down here to see them train. Life Is Good on the farm is going to wind up with Todd pretty soon. And I don't know when we'll see Knicks Go. I don't know at what point they bring him in. They'll probably keep down in New Orleans with Brad for a good portion of his training. So, and then, you know, we'll see how things play out. There's some other races here that'll be prepped for it. So we'll get a few horses here that win some of those early preps, and they'll be pointing for the race as well, but you know, just keep our fingers crossed that those two make it.
And speaking of those two, they obviously come out of victories in the Breeders' Cup. You were out there as part of the Daily Racing Forum coverage. Just wonder what your highlights were for the weekend. I think as New York fans, seeing Christophe Clement get his first win with Pizza Bianca on a really great ride, that was kind of a standout. But Knicks Go looked great. It sounds like you were very impressed, as a lot of people were, with Life Is Good. But what were some of the highlights a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly was one. And Knicks Go, you know, beating that field, obviously. You know, fortunately, the highlight of the whole weekend was the low light. That was the fortunate incident Friday in the last race.
Yeah.
You know, the bettors really, really took it on its chin. I think they need to work out a solution to that. Not only there, but at other tracks where, you know, you're forced to take a horse you might not like in those kind of gimmicks when the favorite scratches. It's really unfair. I mean, they really need to work that out. But Life Is Good may have been the highlight for me. I mean, the track really didn't favor horses on the lead, or especially down near the rail, and he was both that day, and he still dominated that field. A couple of the other highlights, you know, for me was, I liked CC, and she won, and I liked the Japanese horse, not the second one, unfortunately, that paid 100, but the first one. So I thought that was a terrific ride and a terrific effort on that horse from the winner. He worked well after he showed up there. And that jock could have given up when he got pinched in between horses and knocked back that mid-stretch. But liked the way he came on to win that race as well. It was a fun weekend. There was a lot of, you know, a lot of great racing and a lot of interesting results, to say the least. But and Del Mar is always a highlight being out there at Del Mar. But again, unfortunately, I think the one takeaway for most people is going to be that last race on Friday, and the industry needs to do something about that ever happen.
Yeah, that was a bad situation, no doubt about it. I was sad that Letruska didn't put the exclamation point on her season, but I think when it comes to Eclipse time, I think she'd already done enough.
Yeah, I think she'll win it. If the result had been different, if maybe Brad's horse had won the race and she had run so poorly, you might have had a swell of support for her, but that didn't happen. So, yeah, I think her overall body of work, she'll win it. I didn't like the way she was going into the race. I mean, if you have the clock report, gave her a B- in that last work that didn't really go well for her. And I think by that point, maybe she was a little cooked anyway. So no surprise to me that she didn't hit the board in there, but just a tip of the hat for the year she had. You know, I love Fausto. He's very media friendly. He's great to deal with. He's been a good guy, you know, right from the start down here. Last winter, we've had that horse here with us since since she came to this country for the Caribbean Classic a couple of years ago. So she's a big fan favorite down here in Florida, and I think she'll win the Eclipse Award.
I'll just touch on one more thing before we let you go. A story I thought kind of floated under the radar for the Breeders' Cup. Wesley Warren wins the turf, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint for the third straight year, and a trainer winning three straight editions of a Breeders' Cup race, to me, is a huge story. And as I say, it's not Woody Stevens and the Belmont Stakes, but I thought it was pretty impressive. And as I say, it seemed to float slightly under the radar.
Well, it's Wesley Ward winning turf sprints. Yeah. That really surprised anybody with young horses. But he came back, you know, he came back the next day and won the open turf sprint with the horse that had won the other race last year. So, you know, he had three in that first race, and it might not have been the one he maybe thought was going to win it, but it didn't surprise him once that filly made the lead that nobody was going to catch her. I was actually watching the race standing next to Wesley, and when the favorite didn't make the lead, I heard him, like, turn over to turn by, there was a turn that somebody next to him and say, we're in trouble here. And then he realized who was in front and started smiling again. He knew that number two horse in his arsenal was certainly good enough to win with the right trip. And again, those races too, trips make all the difference in the world. The horse that I think it was Derry Name that Chris Clement ran in that filly race, first of those two, the juvenile turf sprint. Put her on your horses to watch list. She ran terrific in there. Watch the tape of that race and watch her race again. I'd bet her back anywhere when she comes back to run again. But it was Wesley's weekend for those two races, and he's another guy, very media friendly. I love it when Wesley's in the spotlight because he's always easy to deal with.
Yeah, I had him on at the beginning of Saratoga, and that may have been the first time I've talked to him, but it was a great interview. I agree, that was a lot of fun. Mike, we'll let you go. Always enjoy your coverage of the Gulfstream racing and, of course, the other big events around the year and up at Saratoga during the summertime. People can catch it in the hard copy of the Daily Racing Forum or DRF.com. Appreciate the conversation this morning, the thoughts on the Rainbow Six, and, of course, we'll catch up to you down the road a little bit as the championship meet kicks off down at Gulfstream. But, again, thanks
for
visiting.
I'm going to put in a shameless plug here, too, for our Clocker Report.
Yeah.
It'll start up again with the start of the championship meet December 3rd. We took a little break here during Aqueduct and after the Breeders' Cup, but all the guys are refreshed and at their posts now. We've got Palmetto's covered. I've been here for several weeks, and we've got Palmetto's Palm Beach Downs covered too. So there's no Calder anymore, so we're not missing anything that happens over there. Most of those, or all of those horses are now here or at Palmetto, so that helps too. So look forward to starting December 3rd.
No, I'm glad you did that because during the Saratoga meet, we tout the workout report quite a bit, and you can get some good information. You mentioned Letruska, and I was out our TV studios in the back of the race book down in Albany, the OTB race book, and I was out in the front side a few days ago, and we were talking about the Breeders' Cup, and I was talking about Letruska with somebody, and somebody said, oh, the workout report wasn't so good on that horse, so I didn't use Letruska. It worked for somebody up here, and it typically does all year long, so I'm glad you mentioned that. Mike, appreciate the visit. We'll talk again.
Okay. See you later.
Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum, bringing us to the end of the show. They're already underway at NYRA with the pregame show. As I said, with an 11:50 post time, start a little early, so we're a little abbreviated here on Racing Across America, but we appreciate the visit earlier from Kim Weir. Check out Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation website, trfinc.com, trfinc.org, .org. You can type in Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation into Google and you'll get there. And then there's a link a little further down their front page to the online auction at eBay. But a lot of fun items, and you have about a week left to go there. And thanks again to Mike Welch for going through that Rainbow Six sequence. Keep in mind, it'll kick off fifth race, which is about 2:30. It is a mandatory pay today, $450,000 in. Mike said he thought $2 million. They're estimating, Gulfstream estimating $3 million. We'll see how it plays out. But if that interests you, keep in mind that is this afternoon. Also keep in mind we have a couple knockout challenges. There's one online today, and there's one here at the Clubhouse Racebook. So if you're interested in the knockout challenge online, go to capitalotb.com. Here at the Racebook, stop by 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I'm going to wrap it up, and we'll get you to the pregame show at NYRA. I'll be back in an hour or so, a little more than that perhaps, with the 11:50 post time, a little less than an hour with OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in this morning. We'll see you soon.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.